MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia politicians condemn Saturday's attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. New federal funding will go to agencies in Harrisonburg and Luray to reduce youth substance use. And some Virginia legislators want to help those who have lost access to Medicaid. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, July 15th. Virginia's political leaders deplored the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump this weekend. VPM News editor Dave Cantor reports.
On Saturday, Virginia officials, including Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears and U.S. Representative Abigail Spanberger, condemned the shooting. Most comments echoed the sentiment that political violence has no place in America. Governor Glenn Youngkin and U.S. Senate candidate Hung Cao are expected to appear at this week's Republican National Convention, where delegates will formally nominate Trump as the GOP candidate. Cao's campaign said Sunday that he'll still attend the Milwaukee event.
Dave Cantor reporting. In a statement on X, Governor Glenn Youngkin denounced political violence and thanked God for protecting Trump. Minority House Leader Todd Gilbert and Speaker Don Scott released a joint statement that said they were shocked by the shooting and were praying for Trump and the victims. Virginia Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine announced Friday new federal funding for community-based coalitions to reduce youth substance use. That includes $125,000 for the Faces for Change drug-free community coalition in Harrisonburg and $125,000 for Page Alliance for Community Action in Luray. The funding for agencies in Virginia totals $625,000. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Virginia and the federal government greatly expanded access to subsidized health care known as Medicaid. But now that period is over and many residents have lost insurance. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner has more from legislators who want to see access expanded.
At its peak during the pandemic, Virginia had over 2 million people receiving health care thanks in large part to federal dollars. Now the federal money has dried up and the state has redetermined the eligibility of almost all in the program. They found about 500,000 people no longer qualified, but elected officials like Democratic Senator Cree Deeds want to see that trend reversed.
We are a healthier economy and society when people have access to health care.
A General Assembly subcommittee recently got an update on the redetermination process, and while members said they were pleased with the work done so far, they also wanted to find out what happened to those 500,000 Virginians who may no longer have health care. Here's Senator Barbara Favola, a Democrat from Arlington.
Given the impact on everybody when you have an uninsured population that's growing, maybe you should look at your Medicaid criteria and pick up more.
Legislators won't have to look too hard to find such a fix. During the last legislative session, Republican delegate A.C. Cardoza had a bill that would have made the state's income and asset cap align with national standards. It failed to get out of committee, but it's an idea the left-leaning Commonwealth Institute agrees with. Cardoza said the proposal came with the request of a constituent.
And my district said that we need anyone below the poverty line to qualify for this program. And it's my duty to speak for them and not for myself.
Coming in at over $24 billion, Medicaid-related expenses are the largest non-general fund expenditure in the state. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Attorneys for the Virginia Department of Education say the ACLU of Virginia cannot sue the department over its model policies for transgender students, citing sovereign immunity. A York County judge will consider that argument this afternoon. The ACLU claims the policies violate the 2020 state law that compelled the department to develop the guidance. In court documents, the ACLU argues the law requires that the policies reflect best practices for inclusive and equitable treatment of transgender and non-binary students. It says Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin's policies released last year violate that law. The vast majority of rivers in Virginia are too polluted to swim in. The Daily News Record reports that, according to data from the Environmental Protection Agency, more than 90% of the rivers in the Commonwealth are considered too polluted for swimming. More than 12,000 miles of rivers and streams in Virginia are considered impaired for recreation, largely because of bacteria. One of the most common pollutants in rivers is agricultural runoff, which is especially a problem in the Shenandoah Valley. According to the EPA, more than half of sites sampled in the valley are so polluted that they are considered unsafe for swimming. But some good news for the James River, which is the healthiest Chesapeake Bay tributary. That's according to a new report. Patrick Larson with VPM News has details.
The University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science report card grades bay health across the watershed on a range of metrics, everything from wildlife populations to economic disparities. Although the report says the James is the healthiest river draining into the bay, it scored slightly lower than last year. Data showed that critters like mussels, worms, and clams struggled, and the water became less clear overall.
And that is really a barrier to achieving some broader ecosystem benefits.
Jamie Brunko is director of river ecology at the nonprofit James River Association. Despite the setbacks, he says the James River has improved over time, and that looking forward, we should focus on what works.
We want to get bacteria out of the water. We want to stop combined sewer overflows. We also want to do things that are going to directly enhance habitat.
Virginia's budget currently sets aside hundreds of millions of dollars to fund water quality initiatives.
Patrick Larson reporting. More than 800 people incarcerated in Virginia became eligible for release at the beginning of July over the objections of some Republicans. This eligibility is part of an earned sentence credit program that Virginia lawmakers passed in 2020 that has now been fully implemented. Also with VPM News, Whitney Evans reports.
Democratic State Senator Jennifer Boyce joined prison reform advocates recently to celebrate. She said most states offer programs that allow people to exhibit good behavior, follow rules, and pick up new skills while incarcerated to earn time to come home earlier.
These are all people who are already having an end date to their sentences and will be returning citizens. And we want them to be successful. We want our communities to be safer.
Before the 2020 bill, prisoners in Virginia could earn up to 13% off their sentences. The new program grants eligible prisoners up to about 33% time off. In a press release, Attorney General Jason Miaras argued the plan undermines the legal system and disregards victims of violent crimes and their families.
Whitney Evans reporting. Well, as we reported last week, the Republican primary in Virginia's 5th District is heading to a recount. History suggests it won't change the outcome. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has more.
If you're looking for an example of a recount that changed the results of an election, you'll have to go all the way back to 1985. That's when a Republican challenger in Indiana's so-called Bloody Eighth Congressional District won against the Democratic incumbent. A recount confirmed that the Republican won, but then Democrats in Congress conducted their own recount and overturned that result. J. Miles Coleman at the University of Virginia says that's not a great precedent.
The Bloody Eighth, you know, it was very controversial. The counting stretched into the next calendar year. That was 40 years ago, basically. So if Bob Good is hoping that something like that happens again, I don't know if I would get my hopes up if I were him.
Here in Virginia, recounts were conducted in 3 congressional elections since 1967, and none of them changed the outcome. Mark Rozelle is dean of the Schar School at George Mason University.
People around them are telling them the voting systems are not always 100% perfect. It's worth your time and money to see if we can get a different result. Inevitably, what happens time and time again, maybe a small marginal change, but no change in the actual outcome.
The recount that's about to start is different from all the previous congressional recounts in one significant way. It's a recount of a Republican primary rather than a recount of a general election. Michael Pope.
And finally today, former Virginia State Delegate Matt Ferris was indicted last week by a grand jury on drug and firearms charges. The News and Advance reports that he also faces a misdemeanor charge of possessing a gun under a protective order, as well as several traffic violations. Ferris was arrested in March in Campbell County. He represented the state's 59th House District for more than a decade, but lost a 2023 Republican primary in a realigned district. Ferris represented parts of Albemarle, Nelson, and Buckingham counties. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.